I know. I'll say man.
Who loves you, baby?
Oh, please. I'm not afraid of anyone in show business. I turned down intercourse with Harvey Weinstein on no less than 3 occasions. Out of 5.
You're right. The story you were about to hear was inspired by actual events. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Well, no. Not so much, really. We're not changing any names here, kids. Good morning and welcome into the first edition of the Daily Perspective for 2019. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, hoping you had a great holiday. We took a break for the holidays because, you know, I know that you wanted to do what you wanted to do, to hang with family and friends and to focus on making sure all the gifts were wrapped and that you had your Christmas list fulfilled and everything was going the way you wanted it to go instead of paying attention to this little adventure into absurdity and the world of politics and the news. So that's what we did. We took a little break and I enjoyed the time off, spending it with family. And lately, family is my wife and my dog because the kid moved out years ago. But we had a good holiday time, and I hope you did as well. And the insanity just continued even without us being here, didn't it? We've had a government shutdown. It's still going on. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but not much has changed. Your liberal friends may be posting about national parks and the issues going on there with just a bare-bones staff manning national parks and crowds coming in over the holidays. Actually, that particular story says more about the stupidity of people than it does about the shutdown itself, because things are shut down. Things are not operating properly. And when people insist on entering national parks, even though there's not staff there to manage the national parks, and then they complain about things not being the way they want them to be, who's the idiot there? It's like, let's think about it this way. It would be like walking up to the door at Walmart and it not opening. And you beat on the door to get in. And you manage to trip it somehow and get into the store. But you can't check out because there's nobody running registers. You know, the two people running the two registers that are always open at Walmart are not there because they're closed. And then you complain. So who's the moron here? You are. Bless your heart. But that's what we're seeing. I have liberal friends who are literally, I saw one this morning who posted a story about the daily, about what's happening at the national parks, that people are coming in, they can't get into the restrooms because they're closed, so they're actually doing their business and dumping toilet paper and other waste materials in the parks. They're filling the trash cans up because they can't. It's just insane. The facilities are not open. The place is not open. And people are still coming in. And there's nobody there to take care of anything. And they're complaining. It's not like it hasn't been on the news. It's not like the left hasn't done everything they can to politicize the shutdown and blame it on Donald Trump, even though he did take ownership of it. We know who's really at fault here. It's like they're just disconnected from reality. And there we have it. People who are getting their information from the evening news, something I tell you all the time not to do, and they're griping about it. So that's gone on. We've got people... Democrats who have decided this whole thing is none of their business and they're just going to go on and do whatever they want to do. In particular, Nancy Pelosi, she has spent this time, the holiday break, we have a shutdown going on. The President of the United States is at work, and the Democrats and others are taking a break and doing whatever the heck they want to do. Nancy Pelosi in particular, she's staying at a really, really pricey resort in Hawaii. Wouldn't you like to go and visit Hawaii? If you have, then you know how wonderful it is. And if you haven't, like me, you want to go. It's one of those bucket list things. I'd like to visit Hawaii. I got a few places I'd like to go. Nancy, bless her heart, she's there, staying in a really pricey resort. That's a story in the stack today. We'll take a look at that coming up. Congress, by the way, speaking of the stack of stories, is now considered to have the lowest ethics rating of all professions. All professions. That actually shouldn't be surprising. Rand Paul has fired off ways that your tax dollars were wasted in 2018. Not a new story, but it's one we need to look at. What else have we got here? Oh, Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, has dropped her headrests into the ring. She's thrown her hat in, so to speak, and declared, yeah, she's looking at running for president. She actually made it a beer summit moment and said, hang on a second, I'm going to go get me a beer. No, that wasn't staged at all. Oh, gosh, it was so horrible. And then there's even more. We'll see what we can get to. But first up, let's take a look at what Chuckie Schumer is up to. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, as if I had to spell that out for you, said back in 2009, 10 years ago, that construction of hundreds of miles of fencing along the southern border of the United States made the border far more secure because it created a significant barrier to illegal immigration. Schumer made those remarks while addressing the 6th Annual Immigration Law and Policy Conference at Georgetown University about the seven principles he said were the basis of an immigration reform package he wanted to pass. Quote, the first of these seven principles is that illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the United States legally, he continued. Any immigration solution must recognize that we must do as much as we can to gain operational control of our borders as soon as possible. He then explained that the construction of border barriers along the southern border made the border a safer place, as it made it much tougher for migrants to illegally enter the U.S. Quote, the American people need to know that because of our efforts in Congress, our border is far more secure today than it was when we began debating comprehensive immigration reform in 2005. Between 2005 and 2009, a vast amount of progress has been made on our borders and ports of entry. This progress includes construction of 630 miles of border fence that create a significant barrier to illegal immigration on our southern border and land border. He explained,
the American people are fundamentally pro-legal immigration and anti-illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong, and we have to change it. Above all else, the American people want their government to be serious about protecting the public, enforcing the rule of law, and creating a rational system of legal immigration that will proactively fit our needs rather than reactively responding to future waves of illegal immigration. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally. The American people will never accept immigration reform unless they truly believe that their government is committed to ending future illegal immigration. And any successful comprehensive immigration reform bill must recognize this fact. Any immigration solution must recognize that we must do as much as we can to gain control of our borders as soon as possible. But we also need to set the record straight. The American people need to know that because of our efforts in Congress, our border is far more secure today than it was when we began debating comprehensive reform in 2005. Between 2005 and 2009, a vast amount of progress has been made on our borders and ports of entry. The progress includes 9,000 new Border Patrol field agents in the last 4 years, construction of a 630-mile border fence, or 630 miles of border fence, that create a significant barrier to illegal immigration on our southern land border. The time has come to end the divisive rhetoric about our border.
In his own words, other video clips of Schumer show this Democrat senator talking tough about illegal immigration, referring to illegal aliens as criminals and saying one of the most effective things we do on the border is turn people back. They get up to the border and we find them and we say, go home.
Fewer illegal immigrants, higher GDP, more jobs, reduced deficit. Who could oppose that? I don't know of anybody, Madam President, if they care about America. We know that keeping our borders safe from dangerous gang members, drug dealers, and human traffickers is critical. We let cross the border millions who take jobs away from American workers. I want to make it extremely clear that first and foremost, we are committed to ending the waves of illegal immigration that we've seen in the last 30 years. Crossing the border without permission from the government is a crime. When we catch someone crossing the border, prosecute them and deport them, we are solving the crime and punishing the criminal. One of the most effective things we do on the border is turn people back. You don't catch them after they cross the border. They get up to the border and we find them and say, go home. Make no mistake, our border will be secured as a result of this bill. We appropriate $6.5 billion up front in this bill.
How much?
To bolster our security efforts. Now, for days now, days and weeks, I have heard senators who would oppose any immigration bill saying that our bill does not secure the border, as if these $6.5 billion do not count. But don't say it won't do anything to secure the border. History shows that, of course, it will.
That's an interesting statement coming from him, by the way. He's talking about the money. The money. Notice that. $6.5 billion. That's why I said, how much? Now they're quibbling over $5 billion. And he has a bill with an allotment of 6.5, but what is the 6.5 for? And that's the question. We're going to spend $6.5 billion. Well, if you're going to spend it on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, it's not going to do any good. So what are they spending it on? That's the question you have to ask. Well, Democrats have drastically changed their stances since President Donald Trump entered the political scene as a presidential candidate in 2015. In 2013, all 54 Democrats in the Senate voted to pass the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act. That provided $46 billion for border security, which included hundreds of miles of additional physical barriers. State Republicans recently released an ad attacking Schumer for playing politics with the safety of the American people.
The senator from New York.
This we is need to make sure that the flood of new immigrants does not drown our local governments out. These localities are not to blame for the federal government's failure to adequately secure our borders.
2013.
Illegal immigration will be a thing of the past.
Now.
The wall request is a non-starter for many reasons. The wall request is a non-starter for many reasons.
We know from talking with the Border Patrol, we know from the people actually there, that where there is a physical barrier, where there is a solid physical barrier, not one with holes in it. You know, we have sections of the barrier that are wasted, gone, aged, falling apart. Panels are coming apart. People are squeezing between them, digging under them. Some places they can climb over and get in. Where the physical barriers are intact, we know. The statistics are dead certain that it reduces the influx of illegals by nearly 100%. The only reason Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are standing against it is Donald Trump. They don't want him to have a victory of any kind. They have been obstructing progress in this country since he became president. They would rather harm our nation than allow this president to help it. And I think that says everything you need to know about leftist Democrats. Still to come, what's Aunt Nancy up to during the break as the Daily Perspective continues? You are listening to The Daily Perspective with little old me, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, driving the big bus down the highway of insanity that is the news of the day. And I hope you enjoy what we're doing here. And by we, I'm including you, because, hey, you're part of the whole thing, right? I'm not talking about me and the dog. She's asleep in the chair behind me. It is the first podcast of 2019, January 2nd of the year, and it's been a kind of a weird break for me. If you follow on social media, I posted I've got this medical stuff coming up, and I told you about it on the podcast before we took the break for the holiday. I'm having total knee replacement, my left knee. Both of my knees are older than the rest of me. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened, but I'm having total knee replacement. My left knee is being replaced a week from today, and so when that happens, hey, don't count on me being here, all right? Because the next Wednesday, I know for certain I'm not going to be here. The following morning, I will not be here. Probably not going to be back in the saddle again until the following Monday, and that kind of depends on the schedule for rehab and the like. So I'll fill you in on social media as to how that goes once I get there, because there's still some, as far as scheduling for my life, it all revolves around that day, the surgery and what comes from that day for the next couple of weeks. And if I can get into the studio and do podcasts, I will. And if not, I won't. And the reason being that getting to the studio could be problematic. So that's the deal, okay? All right, so, and you're thinking, wait a minute, isn't your studio at your house? Yes, the studio is, I have a studio at my home. And the thing is, it's down a flight of stairs. Come on, put the pieces together, people. At any rate, so I had this appointment. It was about a week and a half ago. It was on a Friday. And on the day that we determined we were going to schedule the surgery, they told me you need to go, and they it's called PAT, pre-admission testing, where they draw blood, they do labs, they run an EKG, they do a lot of things, ask you a lot of questions, look at your insurance coverage, the whole nine yards. And they gave me a day to be there and a time, and I verified with them, okay, this Friday, because they had told me they couldn't do it outside of a 2-week window of the surgery. The labs, there's a reason they're doing some testing in the stuff in the labs, the blood work, and it has to be done within 2 weeks of the procedure itself. So I questioned it. I said, wait a minute, that's this Friday, which was outside of that window. And I was told, yes, you'll get a call, they'll confirm, but I'm going to go, hang on a second, let me leave you alone in this exam room and go and check the schedule. And she left and came back and said, yeah, that's when we're going to do it. So just you just go there. They'll be expecting you Friday. It's fine. So I get there Friday morning. They're surprised to see me. I'm like, well, it was a wonderful drive to get here because it's a long, long way. It's like the other side of my little planet to get there. And they said, well, we can do part of it. So they did the EKG and they rebooked me back in for the following Friday. And then that day I went back in and they drew 5 vials of blood. And I was watching the needle go towards the E. You know what I mean? But, and I don't do well with that. I don't know about you, but I don't do well when they're drawing blood. they stick the needle in you. She did a great job, though. I just have to say she did a fantastic job, because all I felt was the needle going in and the needle coming out. That's really all I felt. the rest of it, I've had times in the past where I've had blood drawn where it was an ordeal, right? And the next day, my arm looks like somebody's hit me with a baseball bat, but not this time. At any rate, boy, I sound like an old guy reciting his surgery stories, and I really hate that, but they were surprised to see me. But I finally got that all squared away. And another thing is, I was supposed to be contacted by somebody about this, what they call knee camp, and where they sit you down, they explain how the process is going, they walk you through everything so you don't have any surprises. And it gives you the opportunity to ask questions and to satisfy your curiosity about things. And I have a couple of things I want to talk about. And nobody so far has been able to give me a satisfactory answer about part of the rehab process. So I'm hoping that this is where. No, I'm not getting a phone. Not a phone call. Not one. So today, after the podcast, I'll be on the phone scheduling the knee camp thing because they haven't called me. And it's funny. I've told my wife, I told my sweet Jane, I think somebody needs to introduce their left hand and their right hand because they've definitely never met at this place. And I've been asked, which knee? About four times. And I'm at the point now because of the stories. And you know me, I'm a news junkie, and you've seen the stories, I know, where they some guy goes into the hospital and has a knee replacement or a hip replacement or something like that, and they do the wrong knee. You know, they do the wrong joint. I'm starting to get this feeling, you know, like maybe I should paint a big target on that knee. I should pull the Sharpies out of the drawer and write this one on my knee, because I just have this, because they're not communicating. And this is, it's not just me, and it's not just this hospital, because I remember back when we were dealing with my wife's dad, Jane's dad, Bob, back before he passed away a few years ago, when he spent a lot of time in hospitals, and he had issues, had to have, you know, he had to have dialysis, and he had stents put in. He had all kinds of stuff going on. And they spent, Jane and her sister, Jenny, spent a lot of time dealing with the hospital about just basic information. And they would get a satisfactory answer from somebody, and then the next day, nothing changed. And it was because there was no communication. The people they were talking to weren't communicating with the people on the floor or whatever. So there was lots of weird stuff going on. So this is not unique to me. It's just happening to me right now. So, yikes. If you have horror, if you have hospital stories, please feel free. Yeah, send them to me. Go to Facebook or whatever, or you can email them to me, mark@markandmacshow.com or mark@markcongleton.com. And send me your stories. I'd love to read them, because this whole experience is just getting more and more bizarre for me. And hopefully I won't have any weird stories to tell you after this phone call today. And I got a feeling that in a few days, I got a feeling Thursday of next week, Friday of next week, I'm going to wish I was bunking with Nancy Pelosi in Hawaii. Yeah, she's in Hawaii spending the government shutdown at a luxury resort. She put blame squarely on President Trump for the current government shutdown. By the way, he said, yeah, I'll own that. It's that important. And that's the perspective. That is the way you have to frame it. Our security on the southern border is so important. I'll own it. That's fine. I'll take responsibility for it. If you want to be petty and walk out instead of doing the right thing, I'm going to stand up and say, yeah, well, yeah, okay, fine. Go ahead. Do it. Go ahead. Everybody in the country will see you're the people playing political games, and I'm the one standing here waving the flag saying, hey, we have work to do. Anyway, she was spotted vacationing in Hawaii at the Fairmont Orchid Resort. Room accommodations at this joint range from $899 a night for a standard room to nearly $5,000 a night for the presidential suite. $900 a night to $4,900 a night. She's got to be somewhere in between. I don't know. I doubt seriously she's in a standard room. I mean, after all, she is a big, important person. Just ask her. The resort, it's on Hawaii's Big Island. It features a golf course, has 6 restaurants, a 10,000-square-foot oceanfront pool. It has a spa without walls, where you can get the 110-minute Ali'i Royal experience for $369. They have to 50 minutes couples massage for $549. At the spa, guests can check in. They can snack on gluten-free grilled prawn. A gluten-free grilled prawn summer roll. $19. $20 for a, oh gosh, for a snack. Now, Trump canceled his Christmas trip to Florida, remained in the White House. He said on Christmas Eve he was waiting for the Democrats to come back and make a deal. The president left the White House on Christmas to travel to Iraq and meet with American troops stationed overseas. You know, that happened while we were, you know, we were not together. We were taking a break. And it's a really interesting thing that the leftists in the media all condemned him for not visiting the troops while he was in the air on his way to visit the troops. And this is just one more reason I tell you, turn off the evening news. These people are clueless. They don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about, but they want you to believe they do. He's been holding work meetings since Congress went into recess, including one with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen on how to fund the administration's border security plan. Pelosi, meanwhile, has been speaking to the press, and she gave an exclusive to USA Today just before Christmas, calling Trump a fearmonger, saying he talked about terrorists coming over that particular border, which wasn't so, and he's using scare tactics that are not evidence-based, and it's wrong. You know what, Nancy? You're lying. She's lying. No big shocker there, but Nancy Pelosi is lying. She is Mrs. Lying McLierson. Shocker. But she's staying in the fancy resort while she's lying to the press. Maybe that's one reason that Americans consider that Congress has the lowest ethics of all professions. We'll look at that next on The Daily Perspective. You know, just because Christmas is behind us doesn't mean we can't tweak the left a little bit. Huh? Come on.
You really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
No, actually, where I am, it's wet outside. It is The Daily Perspective. That's what you're listening to. I am your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to get in touch on social media. The Daily Perspective is on Facebook and on Twitter. Also, you can go through the Mark and Max Show if you'd like to do that. And to find it there, because if you go to the Mark and Max Show's webpage, markandmaxshow.com, you'll find these podcasts, because that's what we're doing while the show is looking for another radio station to call home. The way to get in touch is you can send an email to me at mark@markandmaxshow.com. That may be the best way to do it. Just mark@markandmaxshow.com. I've also got a my own website, the markcongleton.com. You can go there and click the contact button and get that way. And there's, let's see, oh, back over at the Mark and Max Show, there's also a form. You can just, instead of firing up your browser, you can just click on the contact form and send me a message that way if you'd like to. Any way you'd choose to contact me, feel free to. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks a lot for being there, and thanks for your feedback. I really do appreciate it. I don't think this next story is news to anybody. I just think it's important to spell it out. And if you've been paying attention, you know that Congress is not highly regarded by the American people. It's just not. Their favorability, their approval rating is really, really low. Very, very low. And people just don't have the time of day for them. Oddly enough, they keep reelecting the same people. And that's because that in most cases, people think, well, our guy's great. All these other people are really weasels. What they don't realize is they're all weasels. And we have to keep a real close eye on them. Especially the senators. God, these people. These people. I just have to say, repeal the 17th Amendment. Go look it up. I won't do an education segment on that today. I may in the future, but go look up the 17th Amendment. And you and think about the way things are now, and you realize why it needs to be repealed. The 17th Amendment gives opened the door for senators to be able to become national figures instead of answering to the state they represent. They still on paper represent the state, but they can campaign all over the country, which is why you see California and New York money coming into an Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida race. That's why you see that happening. It needs to be repealed. They need to answer to the people at home. Just go look it up. Well, members of Congress are considered the least honest and ethical of professions, and that includes telemarketers and car salespeople. That's according to a recent Gallup survey. 58% of the people surveyed said they had low or very low faith in the honesty and ethics of members of Congress. Only 44% of the people surveyed said the same about car salespeople. 56% said the same about telemarketers. Nurses came out on top in the survey. 84% of people surveyed said they'd rate the honesty and ethical standards of nurses as high or very high. Nurses' high ratings were followed by physicians, pharmacists, and high school teachers. Considering the stories we've had about high school teachers hooking up with students, members of Congress, poor honesty and ethics ratings hovered around 60% disapproval since 2016. But that's better than in 2013, when 66% of respondents gave them poor ratings. Only 8% of the people said they would rate members of Congress as having high or very high honesty and ethical standards in 2018. 33% of respondents ranked members of Congress as having average honesty and ethical standards. Only a third of the people surveyed think, they're just like everybody else. Wow. Several scandals may have contributed to the poor reputation of members of Congress in 2018. They include Republican New York Representative Chris Collins, who was indicted on insider trading charges in August. Republican California Representative Duncan Hunter, who says he's not guilty of allegations he misused roughly $250,000 in campaign funds. Both Collins and Hunter won re-election in the 2018 midterm elections. Hunter will face trial in September of 2019 after he and his wife, Margaret Hunter, were indicted in August. That's according to Roll Call. Other professions examined by the way, this article coming to from the Western Journal just completely excludes all of the criminals on the Democrat side. And if you want to go look that up, you can. But there are people on the Democrat side of the aisle who make these two guys look like choir boys. Other professions examined by the Gallup survey include journalists, law enforcement officers, and clergy. Respondents were evenly split about whether they trusted journalists more or less than the average profession. 33% said they had high honesty. 31% rated them as average. 34% said they had low honesty. Police officers were in the top five highest rated professions, earning confidence from 54% of the people. 15% of the people surveyed rated clergy as having low honesty and ethics. And their positive ratings have been falling since 2012 after taking dips in certain years because of scandals. Yeah. I would also attribute that drop in credibility and trust to the reporting of the left, because they love a good scandal and they don't put things in perspective. And the perspective is that the number of people who are in clergy who don't positively represent their group, they're the anomaly. They are the vast minority. They are rare. Rare. Very, very rare. But because they are members of the clergy, if they ever do anything dishonest, wrong, illegal, then it is sensational, it's salacious, and it's headlines. Here's somebody you're supposed to trust, and look, he's a goofy sleaze just like the other goofy sleazes. You can't trust these people. It's sensational. Is it the norm? Far from it. But it's the news. One more reason. I tell you, turn off the evening news. the evening news, and the news channels, the cable news channels, are driven by ratings. Ratings drive revenue. Revenue determines what they focus on. They will focus on what captures the most attention, what they believe will capture the most attention, what they will think is the most interesting and will hold viewers' attention the longest. Because the longer, the more people they, whose attention they can grab, and the longer they can hold their attention, the more money they can make off of advertising. Now, please don't get me wrong here. I'm all for advertising. I'm all for for capitalism. I'm all for working hard to produce results for someone who invests money in order to expose their business to an audience. For example, here, if you have a business and you wanted to advertise on this podcast, you're more than welcome. Let me know. We'll talk. And I will do my best to represent you the best I can. I will insist that we have a get-together, that I learn about your business, that I can ethically represent you, because I don't want to represent you if I can't. And I'm all for that. But when it comes to the ratings process, it should not determine what the news shows you. But because news is now almost an entertainment medium.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's almost an entertainment medium. The news station's program, whatever's the most sensational, gets the most attention. And usually, when they get it wrong, because they're focused on sensationalism rather than reality and the truth, when they get it wrong, most of the time they don't tell you they got it wrong. They just move on and leave you with your own opinion of what they've presented to you. And hopefully you understand how wrong that is. Because if they get something wrong, and they find out it's wrong, as soon as humanly possible, they should come back and tell you, we got that wrong. Here's what really happened. And yes, you do see that happen from time to time, but you don't see it happen as often as it should. Because they've got to keep moving. They've got to keep doing things to hold attention. They've got to keep pounding that drum and keeping the focus on what they think is important, because they believe that's what holds viewers and listeners. Remember when and this is horrible for me not to remember all the details, but when CNN focused on that airliner that went down, you remember? It was just about every time you turned on CNN, that's what they were talking about. The missing airliner. And the mystery of what happened to it and where these people are and the like. That's what they thought was going to draw the most attention. They thought people would be the most interested in that story. And they held on to it. If you wanted to learn anything about anything else, you had to turn the channel and find some other source of news. Because as far as whoever was calling the shots at CNN was concerned, that's what was going to get people's attention. It went on long enough that it became the fodder for late night comics. People were sick of it. Yeah, it's tragic. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, it's horrible. We don't know what happened. You know, other things happened today. Can we hear about them? So the news media doesn't tell you the truth. It's not in their best interest, because their best interest is the bottom line, the money. Again, I don't have a problem with that, as long as you're telling the truth. It's about honesty. That's a word we come back to often around here. It's honesty. So, honestly, what has our government spent our money on? We'll have a look at that coming up next on The Daily Perspective. January 2nd, 2019. It's the Daily Perspective. It's good to have you along today. Ah, it's good to be back behind the mic as well. I was telling Jane last night that I've enjoyed the break, but I've missed being here every morning. And it's a good thing, I think. I like being here. And I like the fact that you're here as well. Thanks a lot for being there. So, we were talking about Congress and his favorability and how people don't like it and how, you know, they've rated below telemarketers and car salesmen. By the way, if you're a car salesman, I know how hard you work. I did it for a while. And when I say a while, it's like 30 days. I worked for a dealership for about 30 days. I'm not a salesperson. Let me just tell you that. It's funny that people say, wait a minute, you work in broadcasting, the radio business, you talk for a living, you should be able to sell. No. Just because I can communicate ideas and I enjoy talking to my friends about things, it doesn't mean that I can sell, it's a different thing. It's just a different thing altogether. And that's just not me. So I enjoy having a chat with you and I enjoy communicating ideas, but the selling process is something that's entirely different. And I know that what selling is just helping people get what they want. Now, from the other perspective, I've told you that I've actually worked in sales, and not just in car sales, but in other aspects as well. I don't enjoy radio sales, but I was talking about car salesmen. You're sitting across the desk from somebody when you're sitting down to talk price, from somebody who thinks you're out to get them, that you're finding some way to screw them over any way you can. And that's not necessarily the truth. You're just trying to get as much money for the product as you can, at the same time helping them get what they want for what they can see is a fair price. And that's what your job is. So, and I appreciate car salespeople. I know a handful, and they're great guys and gals, and I appreciate what they do. And actually, it's good. By the way, I'll just give you this little note of advice. It's really good to know somebody who runs a car dealership. It really is good to know somebody who runs a car dealership. Not just because you can get prices on things, because you can get a deal on things, but because it helps you to understand the dynamics of how the car business works. And when you understand how the car business works, you understand how the best way is to buy a car or to trade a car. It's just a good idea to have somebody who's in the business as a friend, because they can sit down with you and tell you, this is how this works. It's always the best to know how stuff works. That's one of my basic philosophies in life, is there is a way things work. Learn it, and your life will be better. All right. We know that things work in Congress in a really weird way that the real world can't understand. Well, and Senator Rand Paul, on Festivus every year, it's a Festivus miracle. He releases his Festivus waste report. It outlines all the ways your tax dollars were spent over the previous year. And it's really weird what your tax dollars have been spent on, from funding studies on daydreaming to paying for people to blow leaf blowers at lizards. Yeah. Here's what he says. Happy Festivus. Is 2018 over already? It was just yesterday the national debt was pushing $20 trillion. Now it's blown $21 trillion away. That's what he cracked. He cracked as a joke in the opening of his report called What a Year. And then he aired his grievances with the federal government by highlighting $114 million, a lot of wasted money. I'm not seeing zeros here, so I'm confused. For example, here's a list. Providing stipends to soldiers in the Somali National Army, $76,321,000 plus. Promoting the already overcrowded farmers market industry, $13.4 million. Teaching Rwandan special interest groups and citizens how to lobby, $250,000 of your money went toward that. Using theater to combat homelessness and poverty. They spent $15,000 of your money on that. Theater. Studying the sexual habits of quails on cocaine. I'm having a mental image of quails on coke. $874,503 of your money. Remember, I keep saying your money. Let me explain that. It's not theirs. The government doesn't have any money. They take it from you. They say you're paying. No. If you don't, they'll come with guns and take it. They're taking money from you. Funding a fictionalized opera about Prince Harry. $15,000 went through the NEA to do that. The State Department dropped $75,000 on making videos marketing U.S. colleges to students, well, to Indian students. $75,691 was spent blowing leaf blowers at lizards. Supporting legislative priorities in Libya, the State Department dropped $1 million. In Afghanistan, the State Department put on plays and spent $200,000 of your money to do it. They studied horse and donkey hunting on the ancient Anatolian Peninsula. Wow, I can't even pronounce this stuff today. $361,000, almost $362,000. Egyptian tourism. The State Department supported Egyptian tourism to the tune of $18 million of your hard-earned money. They spent $200,000, the State Department did, paying to bring British student social activists to the United States. Social activists from the UK. Encouraging people in the Republic of the Congo to use local resources. The State Department dropped $35,000 on that. The National Institute of Health studied daydreaming. They spent almost $2.5 million on that. Studying daydreaming. Wow. They spent $50,000, the State Department did, on conceptualizing games in India. The State Department spent $50,000 on paying for museum trips in Bosnia and Herzegovina for Bosnians and Herzegovinians. The State Department spent $653,014 developing a Pashto language TV drama series for Afghanistan. They spent $50,000 teaching female entrepreneurs in India how to vlog. Vlogging. They spent $50,000 of your tax money teaching female entrepreneurs in India how to turn their cell phone around and shoot video with it. And in Paraguay, the State Department dropped $400,000 on supporting asset seizure programs. Now, while Rand Paul loves to call out waste, the fourth annual installment of his report included some new agenda items involving cruel and wasteful animal experiments, much to the pleasure of the taxpayer watchdog White Coat Waste Project. The group's president, Anthony Bellotti, said this: from blasting lizards with leaf blowers to hooking horny quails on cocaine, Senator Rand Paul's waste report provides a crucial roadmap for identifying reckless federal spending that belongs on the chopping block, including some of the $15 billion in tax dollars wasted on animal experiments each year. This annual catalog of boondoggles is one of the many reasons why we're proud to recognize Senator Paul in 2017. They were proud in 2017. With their Waste Warrior Award. In addition to the animal test outlined already, Republican lawmakers have been stepping up to put an end to other animal experiments that several federal agencies conducted on the taxpayers' dime, including potentially illegal dog experiments at the Department of Veterans Affairs and deadly kitten experiments at the Department of Agriculture. This is your government, people, spending your money that they take from you at the point of a gun. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Daily Perspective.
Wow.